Blog Talk Radio.
And we're in 2022 off and rolling. Welcome to When Black Men Talk. As we kick things off for the first show of 2022, a male's perspective on conversation that will give our perspective. I'm sorry, let me go back and say that again. I had that all wrong. I kind of changed this up a little bit, and my eyes got a little woozy, maybe a little blurry. A male's provocative conversation that will give perspective on life, love, relationships, a sincere self-evaluation, boldly saying things that require us to say. That's it. That's When Black Men Talk. Myself, Mark Elliott, Mr. Dean Reese, Mr. Charles soon will be joining us. We're into 2022, baby. It's time to acclimate ourselves to it, get used to it, enjoy it, and make the best of it. How you feeling, Mr. DeMaurice?
Not as good as you. You still feeling that New Year's, that cheer, I guess.
Bro, come on, man. We dialed this up every
good,
day,
man.
That doesn't take a New Year's. We dialed this up every day, man. Every day we dialed up. You know, which, in thinking that, man, I have a question for you that kind of came to my mind a couple of hours ago, man. I figure I'll put it to you, Mr. Charles, is that not since based on being in a new year, but in a sense, when you think about it, what hypes you? You know, a lot of times we look at these artists, they got hype men, hype women, hype dancers, whatever. But what basically hypes you when you think about it, sir?
Mr. Charles or me?
That's you, man. I mean, you know Mr. Charles ain't here yet.
Okay. Oh, I thought you said Mr. Charles.
I'm sorry if I missed you.
Yeah, we're twins. what hypes me, man, is when I think of the ancestors, I think of people in my past who really believed in me. And you got to go back and think about that sometimes, because sometimes you get low and you think, you know, life is beating you down sometimes. You got to think about people who came before you, who came through a lot more than you. And you got so many more resources, so many more things to work with, that you shouldn't be that way. So that's what gets me out of my funk and puts some fire into my pants and motivates me and moves me forward. Thinking about ancestors, thinking about people who have gone on before me. I'm still here. I'm still breathing. I still got to fight. I still got to fight, and I can't let up.
That's a good response, my brother. I kind of, you know, could take a little bit from what you said, but for me, man, I think really is the unknown. I mean, I've enjoyed so much the unknown that's still to come, that can be enjoyed, that can be processed, that can be lived, that to be had. When I think about it, man, that's where my, you know, a good portion of my hype comes from. And the fact that the gift has still allowed me to be here, the giver, the greatest giver of all, has still allowed me to be here to enjoy, that's the hype. That's a big part of the hype right there. Mr. Charles, you know, as we said before, DeMaurice, I was talking to you, but I can't talk to you if you're not here, bro, but welcoming yourself into 2022 and being here. Well, we're wondering, man, what hypes Mr. Charles? What hypes you, sir?
Wow. Let's see. Hype probably trying to challenge, being challenged, man, being told something like, being told I can't do something that I know deep in my soul is wrong. And you challenge me about something I know I'm capable of. I know that hype me. Also, too, working with solid people that know what the heck they're doing, good team, watching other people in my circle or solid people do well, actually doing well in life. I mean, being able to help other people, I guess that would be the simpler term. Being able to help other people and watch them succeed, that hypes me. And people that really get it, man, understand what it's like about this life and trying to help others and doing good and watching people excel, that hypes me.
And a provocative conversation that will give a perspective on love, life, and relationships. It's who we are. It's When Black Men Talk, myself, Mr. Demon Reese, and Mr. Charles, Mark Elliott, who I am, always shooting for a sincere self-evaluation, boldly saying some things that require us as men to say. We continue to move on. Mr. Charles, we'll come back to you. You know, off the question of what hypes you, I'm going to put this out to you, sir. You know, something simple about life, when you think about it, still marvels you. Something that goes on in life or a part of life, when you kind of just give a thought to it, can be simple, something small, simple, whatever, that sometimes we can take for granted, but if you stop and think about it, it marvels you, sir.
Wow, that's deep. Clearly would like to say the fact that we have brand new days, fresh starts every day, blessed to have that. But probably the main thing, when I think about it, is just the light and the innocence and the joy that you see in a child, man, in a happy child, no matter what the circumstances. Children don't know unless you tell them that they're poor. They don't know. They just want to be loved. And you see that innocence and a laughter, a smile, just every time. It's like, wow, that's amazing.
Mr. DeMarie, same question for you, sir. Something that's kind of simple, you may come across it just about every day or pretty often, but when you think about it, it still marvels you, sir.
What marvels me is the when you are a blessing to somebody else and you can see their appreciation of, and you don't even know what you're doing sometimes. You just do it out of, because it's, you know, it's something that is natural for you to do. And then they come up back to you and they, you know, tell you how much they appreciate what you've done and all that. And you're, for me, it's almost like, man, I just, this is something that I do. It's nothing that, you know, I'm going out of my way to do. It's just something that is in me to do at that particular time. And sometimes you don't know how much of a blessing that is, because oftentimes we ask the Creator to use us, and then we don't really know what that means. And then when we are used in that way, I find it hard to take the credit for it, because it was like I was just a conduit to it. But to see the appreciation and that you are a blessing at that particular point to that person kind of shows me and humbles me that, you know, you have a Creator that can work through you to do His work. And it makes you feel, it makes me feel a whole lot better, and it fulfills my purpose. This is what I'm here to do. So that's the kind of, when you ask that question, that's kind of how I kind of thought about it, being a blessing to other people and their reaction.
These two bring it every time, ladies and gentlemen. They bring it, they bring it, they bring it. I'm going to try not to be redundant and kind of bounce off anything you two said, because it's hard not to, because those are two great answers. I'm going to go a little different path for me, and I'll make it deeply personal. When my children come back and say some good things that have happened in their life that I was part of, that I may have forgot at the time, in a sense, but they bring it back and bring back the memories and the thoughts. Yeah, that's the big one big marvel right there. I want to take a little stab at something, in a sense, because we at this show, we know we have talked about relationships in different type of ways. We turned it upside down, we grilled it, we diced it, we cut it up. But it seems like we always find another way to kind of look at it and see it maybe in a possible way that people may not be looking at it. And I sometimes think that's what we strive for. With that being said, I'm going to say this. It sounds, and prudent judgment is based on a simple perception of the situation or facts. So I'm going to say that again. Prudent judgments based on a simple perception of the situation or facts. If you think about that, that's just common sense. I know we did a show a while ago where we said that common sense is not common. You don't have to tell me that, for sure. But with that being said, Mr. DeMarie, I want you to kind of, if you can, respond to this. In some form, common sense, you think about it, has it derailed many relationships that you may have experienced, or just relationships in general, sir?
Yeah, I think it has. Because One of the things that I know we've talked about for a long time is that men and women are built differently, and we're built to kind of think more logically. We're built to kind of fix things. And sometimes, I'm not saying all women are like this, but most women are, they kind of go on their emotion. So it's not what the reality is, it's how they feel about certain things. So you can kind of give them the truth, and they could say, well, I feel. I'm like, well, what does the feelings have to do with the reality of the situation? You know, I understand. I can feel any way I want, but the reality is this is what it is. And so for me, that's the common sense when it comes in. It's like, okay, you know, I can feel mad. I can feel angry. I can feel this, but this has to be worked on. This has to be done. What can we do at this particular moment to fix this? And so, you know, we're just wired differently when it comes to that. Now, maybe sometimes they'll come around a little bit later after the feelings have subsided, whether it's 90 seconds or 90 days, whatever. But, yeah, it's like the common sense is like, okay, this is the situation. As men, we're just kind of wired to this is the situation. This is how we need to kind of salvage this or fix this. And are you on board? And usually if the person is too emotional, you're not going to get much cooperation. So you may feel like you're kind of fighting it yourself and trying to resolve it yourself, and you're fighting against the person to try to resolve something. And you get to a point where you get burnt out, like, this is not going to ever work because, you know, I'm fighting a no-win battle here.
It's interesting because hearing your response, I'm thinking – a lot of time, as men, we're supposed to be the leaders, the thinkers, the provokers, to get things done, the initiators, get things done. And I'm thinking at times, because of the emotional part, it kind of gets in the way of that. It really does. It gets away. Sometimes you spend more time trying to explain what you're trying to do or want to do, what should be done, as opposed to doing it. So, Mr. Charles, I'll come to you and say this, sir, and something you may have experienced or something you have seen. Does quietly common sense derail relationships, sir?
I think it can, and yes, it often does. And the issue with it, too, is the factor that we talk about the emotion from your partner or someone that they may be receiving, and they may be in their feelings and may not be able to absorb the common sense that you're providing. But the other part of it, I think, that goes a long way is oftentimes when someone's in their emotions or feelings, they have others that back up what they're feeling from the family or loved ones, or they might have talked to somebody else about the situation. And when such and such said, you know, what the hell do they know about it? So it's almost like they get someone to back them up on evidence to back them up on what they're feeling. In actuality, the logical way and the more pertinent way to figure things out and run with things is to use the common sense factor that you're entering into the situation or conversation.
I want to go back to the word prudent, because this is where I think that a lot of the heart and soul of the foundation lies. And kind of really, sometimes we may not notice it at the time, but it's there, and it kind of really allows things to be the left or right. Prudent acting or showing care or thoughts for the future. Acting with or showing care and thoughts for the future. So when I think about that, in a sense, again, prudent judgment. And sometimes to me, if you're acting or showing care with thoughts for the future, you're going to basically, in a sense, think of things that's going to be better or be for the betterment of the relationship and trying to move towards the future or currently, in a sense. What I think here you two saying, in a sense, where a lot of times because of the emotions, is basically sometimes emotions really wants to be validated. They want to be acknowledged. Sometimes they really just want to win. And it doesn't matter what's going on, but that's what they're kind of looking at it. So a lot of times when you're up against that, you know, I'm wondering, coming back to you with this, Mr. Charles, in a sense, how we basically feel, because when we witness it and we're, you know, they're kind of going through with the emotional part of it, then sometimes in the back of our mind, I got to be thinking, we're thinking that they don't necessarily care. Their thoughts basically is right here, right pertinent right now. And it's not a thought process about what we might be trying to think for the betterment for the future and betterment for now. But in a sense, because of the emotional part, they might be looking at it and seeing, okay, I want this right now. I just want to win this because I need this for my emotional safety. But I'm wondering, in a sense, when we look at relationships in general, if we're not looking to do things that are based on caring and improving our relationships for the future, I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing? So, again, have you witnessed this? And I'm sure you have, in a sense, where it seems like when they're emotionally having a conversation, the emotional part is not about the care and the thought of the future. The emotional part is about really showing me validation. Let me feel good about myself at this moment here. Let me win. Is that something that can you relate to, Mr. Charles?
No doubt. But I think that emotions can be so strong that they overtake any rationalization sometimes. And they may care. They may care, but they're so caught up in their emotions, they can't see the long-term effect. And more or less, they may spend time on being right. From that standpoint, but you mentioned the word prudence, and oftentimes when you talk about the word prudent, it's like prudent or proven or whatnot. So from a common sense standpoint and from the prudent perspective of it, you have to think that oftentimes these common sense decisions are made on experience. So it's something you either knew about, you dealt with, you've seen before, or you connected with somebody else that has been through this and you've seen the results. So that's why it makes it prudent, because you're not just flying off of an emotion or something that you kind of feel. You actually have some sense about what you're dealing with.
So, Demarice, we'll get you on this one, sir. A lot of times the emotional part of it kind of seems like it's just there for the moment. It's not thinking about the caring or the long-term process, your reaction.
Yeah, I kind of look at it as a strategy to derail the reality of what's going on. And that's how I've seen it in relationships. It's like, I think I've dated a lot of narcissists who kind of like, it's only about me. No, you're seeing it a different way. No, you know, that's not what it is and all this other stuff. And they're like Jedi mind tricks and stuff. But I kind of look at it as a strategy. And not really showing care about what's really going on, but trying to save face, trying to derail what the reality is, what the truth is. And I'm going to always stand on, you know, looking at a situation the way I can't help but look at a situation for what it is. And so in dating and in relationships, you just see that the emotion will become the issue at the particular time instead of what really is reality. And it's only a matter, and I can wait it out. It's like a cat and mouse game. I can wait it out until you exhaust all the emotion and all this other stuff to get to what we need to get to. I'm not going to lose focus with that. So, you have to remain prudent when you're looking at situations like that, because it can derail a whole lot of things and you'll be sitting in a relationship. I know guys who've been sitting in relationships for a long time, longer than they should have been, because their mate won't really kind of look at things, you know, for what they are. And every time some things come up, they go through this emotional kind of roller coaster kind of thing. And I'm like, you know, you got to stop doing that, dude. You got to just cut it, nip it. And I told one of my buddies, you know, because he complained about it all the time. And my favorite expression to him is shit or get off the pot. Shit or get off the pot. Because you keep talking about this, I'm not going to talk about this with you anymore. You're either going to do what you need to do or just get off the pot and just kind of, you know, wallow in this emotional world of hers and not get anything done. And years later, he's still in the same situation. So, yeah.
You have friends like that too, huh? Interesting thing that you said about Yeah, man. I have a few buddies like that, man. They kind of push them to the side because you get together with them. I've gotten together with them, and they want to spend the entire time talking about stuff they talked about 6 months ago that haven't improved it on. You're like, you know what? I'm gonna give you 5 minutes to say what you got to say. After that, we're changing the conversation. We're talking about something totally different. But I want to go back to the word you drop, which is narcissist, because to me, I find this is very, very, very interesting in a sense. I know for me, it's hard to be involved with someone that can't take acceptability of being wrong. They're not accountable. Anytime something happens, it doesn't even have to happen basically with us. But anytime something happens in life, they find someone, something else to blame, and they never see themselves as doing something wrong. It's always what someone else has done. If this person done that, but in that person, usually, you know, of course they're a narcissist, but that person, Mr. Demir, I'm going to come back with it, that person also finds it hard, will run from, or rather probably, you know, go outside naked and run down the street than apologizing. Agree or disagree, sir?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I totally agree, because it's not about them. It's about everybody else but them. And they're, in their heart of hearts, they are so insecure that they cannot even fathom the idea that they were the cause, or they are the cause, or they are the central part of the problem. They're not going to do it. They're not going to. It takes a lot to turn a narcissist around and say, you know, this was all you. This is all you. You need to take. And what you try to explain to them is that the sooner you take responsibility, the sooner this burden will be off you. But they continue to hold on to the burden, and they departmentalize it in their head that, no, it's everybody else. It's not me. I'm the victim here. And it's clearly everybody around them is like, no, you're not the victim. But they do have, like Mr. Charles said, they have some folks in their lives who will co-sign that, because they're probably, you know, as a teacher used to say to me and my boys, and we used to hate him saying it, Mr. Dyson, to be our teacher, birds of a feather flock together. So, of course, they're going to support, and they're going to be the rah-rah cheerleading team, that, yeah, you right, girl, and all this other stuff. But they don't really know how much damage they're doing to that person and that person's relationship when that person is not willing to face the realities of the situation. So they'll push it off, push it off, push it off. They'll go to somebody else, do the same thing. And then I would like to be there with a camera when all of that burden just hits them at one time, to realize that, you know what, I have no more other options. I got to face this. And, you know, I'm in a corner now. I got to face this. I would like to be there to see that with narcissists that I've dealt with in the past, because it's a hard, you can't, they will refuse to be cornered with the truth about what they've done or how they kind of messed up things.
It's interesting, Mr. Charles, because to me, the basic foundation of a narcissist is a child. I mean, we learn, well, you should have learned as a child, basically, when you're wrong, you accept it, you try to do better the next time, and you move on. So it's kind of interesting that you grow as an adult, and you cannot and refuse to accept responsibility for anything that's done wrong. And at the same time, Mr. Charles, won't allow themselves to fight. They're ready to put on gloves and bow to you to say, I'm sorry. Your reaction, sir?
No, I agree with that 100%. But oftentimes they're catered to, and they're allowed to continue to live in that childlike manner. So think about it from the standpoint of, and this can be both ways, men and women, but think about a woman that may be dating someone and everything's great and trying to move this stuff along, and then all of a sudden she just goes, oh, I can't deal with this right now. And she runs back to her home under the protection of her parents, her mother, her father, particularly the mom maybe, and she's like that little girl again, right? She's right back where she was, and she doesn't want to deal with anything, and that's where that narcissist comes into play. And another example is when you think about how if you're in a relationship with somebody and you've been dating for a while, and people think you are pretty solid together, and maybe there might be some wedding bills going down the line, or whatever, you're going to get married. And people always ask that question. So when you going to make an honest woman out of her? When you going to marry her? And she's like, yeah, I told you. I don't know what he's waiting on. Yeah, and they keep saying over and over. You like, child, please, girl. Everybody, it's you. It's not me. I'll marry you tomorrow. But you hear that all the time. You keep messing around, you're going to lose her. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. Really?
I want to come on with that, Mr. Charles, because definitely want to kind of play with that a little, because it's interesting, because I think when we're dating, we find it interesting when we're dating for a period of time and things are going well. Why is the mental jump for people on the outside and the person you might be dating automatically to run to marriage? Why is that automatically marriage just automatically comes up? I mean, I always was astonished by that. And it can be a short period of time. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. You know the person, but if you're grooving and everything seems to be working okay, why do people feel that marriage just must take place so soon? That's a question for you, Mr. Jones.
I think it's like the ultimate, or was a while back. I'm not sure about today. But I think a while back it was like the ultimate goal or the ultimate thing to say that you were successful in the relationship. And that's what they want from the standpoint of what used to be, where that's what the goal was for young girls to grow up, meet their significant person, and marry. And if you're a so-called, I guess, solid candidate, then it's like, well, I know you, she's a great catch. I know you definitely want to marry her. And it's like, well, I don't even know her in 6 months. But that, you know how it is. It don't take long. So I think that's what it is. They used to be so focused on that as the ultimate goal for a young lady. Then when you're a good, so-called a good catch, and a person of much potential, it's like, why wouldn't you want to be married? Why would you wait? So you can get started on marriage and the rest of your life with the person that you really want to be with.
There's a reason why over 50% of marriages don't work, Mr. DeMaurice. There's a good reasons, I should say, why they don't. But the question we're really discussing here is why, when you just know someone for a short period of time, the outside world looks in, and it's the first thing they say to you or her, or the person that you may be clicking with, it's just the thought process of marriage so soon. Your reaction to the question, sir?
I'm going to tell you what Pop tells me all the time, because he knows I have a cousin who likes to push this all the time. Misery loves company. They see you doing stuff they can't do. Oh, they don't want you out there having the time of your life and being happy and not being worried and stressed. Misery loves company. So, yeah, some people see that, and some people generally see that they feel like, you know, you need to settle down, and they don't see you as single being stable. And so, you know, they think that there's something wrong with that picture, that you should have, you know, that you should have somebody, you should have, you know, family, things of that sort. But not realizing that things have changed since they, you know, were coming up and coupling and being married and all that other stuff, and the rules have changed. So, I'm content, you know. Would I like, you know, to be in a relationship? Sure, but I don't feel like I'm ready for that. And so, but he tells me that all the time when we talk. It's like misery loves company. And so that's why they kind of beating you down, you know. You might be sitting back, you lonely, like, yeah, maybe they right. Maybe I should be. No, he's like, oh, have a good time, enjoy your life. Because you keep thinking about that, all of a sudden you'd be sitting there with them, complaining and all that other stuff. He's like, no, don't do that. Just take your time. I wish I'd have listened to him in the first one I had, because he's like, he told me a long time ago, don't get married. Don't get married. Just stay single. Stay single as long as you can. You'll be happier that way. And man, was he right. He was right. He knew his child. He knew me. He knew that, you know, I knew he was right. But once I got into it, I experienced it. I'm like, okay, I see what he says now. But I see it all the time. Misery loves company. And, you know, you're doing things that they don't want, you know, they can't do, and they see it through you. They live vicariously through you sometimes. But, you know, why should you have all that fun, you know? You know, why are you so deserving of having a life and you be happy and not have to come home and with the ball and chain and all that stuff? So, you know, you got to be part of the group. And, and sometimes they make you feel like you're not part of the group. But I'm okay with that.
Part of the group. Interesting that you say that. Years ago, yeah, I went on this ski trip and didn't know these cats, man. Didn't know these cats, but started hanging out with a couple of cats, like a group of four, I believe it was. They all were married, and I wasn't. So I think the first night or the second day, one of the guys said to me, "What you going to get, man? Stop fooling around. You're miserable like the rest of us." I said, "Damn." I was like, "Damn. What a nice thing to say." But I'm going to take a little different spin because I was kind of looking at a perspective of the people on outside. And what I've noticed is people equate, if you're kind of getting along to this great compatibility, just go get married. They look at it if you two have been together for a period of time. And a lot of times, that period of time could be 6 months. Now, Mr. Charles said that earlier, but a lot of times, if you make the six-month marker, it's like, man, marriage is right there. I know in the past, I've lived with people in the past, and people assume just because you move in together, they don't know what reason you may have chosen to move in together. It could have been for economic reasons, whatever the case may be. If you move in, they believe that is the next step to get married. They automatically believe, okay, your next step is going to kind of just walk through the, you know, walk up to the altar, and you put on the monkey suit, she puts on the dress, and y'all get married. So it's amazing how people, you know, bring things outside to look at it and automatically bring it here, but they don't know if you and a person are truly compatible, they don't know if you and a person truly love each other, and you and a person can make it. And it's interesting, I know you talk about, you know, I'm not sure if you've done it or you talk about past marriages, where they look, they change, how it's different now. And honestly speaking, a lot of people got married back in the day and they stayed married for a long period of time, but that don't mean they were happy. It just doesn't mean they were happy. For some reason, they just chose not to get divorced. Because coming up in their generation, divorce is looked upon as something you just don't do. You know, once you get married, you stay together basically until death do you part. And it's funny how a lot of things that were said the day they got married, they would hang on to that one, but they wouldn't hang on to other things. You know, they won't hang on to some other things that were mentioned, but that to that death do us part, they'll remember that one. So, again, a lot of people got married back in the day, and they kind of just rode it for 30, 40, whatever years because they believe they should, not even wanting to, but just was with the idea was preached to them that once you get married, guess what you do? You stay there. You just take it no matter what's going, what happens. You deal with it, but it's not necessarily a place of happiness. I want to give this back to you, Mr. DeMaurice, in a sense where what I've noticed, and I've been saying this to people over the years, I've kind of always kind of had this as a mantra thing I was saying, is that why do people fight to get into relationships? Then when they get in it, you know, they fight to get in, they want to get married, they want to have someone they care about, whatever the case may be, they fight, they want it, they desire it, they strive for it, but once they gain it, they're not willing to do what's necessary to sustain it and grow the relationship.
To me, those folks don't need to be in a relationship in the first place. I think it's like a lot of peer pressure or society pressure that you need to be booed up. Look at what, if you check out your social media, you'll see folks showing pictures. They all booed up, coupled up. I don't think them folks are happy. They're just taking a picture to show everybody else that, oh, we together all New Year's. We together during the holidays. You know, because I know I'm the type of person that is, okay, I'm going to be with you for a while, but I need my space. I need some room to breathe. I ain't gonna be up under you all day, every day for like the 2 weeks. You gotta go back to work. This ain't vacation for me. I got things to do. So I think it's the image of you gotta be booed up. You gotta be, and then you see the social media folks. Well, I'm by myself this year, but I ain't gonna be by myself next year. And so it's this pressure to kind of get into a relationship that you probably don't need to be in. Then you get it, and you realize, oh, I gotta do all this. I gotta let somebody know where I am, this, that, the other. I got responsibilities in this. And so, you know, when you're doing that and you're forcing it, sometimes you are I remember grandma used to always say, be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. And so if you ask it for that, you ask for all this stuff in the relationship, and you get it, then you're supposed to be you know, responsible for that. You got to tend to that. You got to cultivate it. And some people aren't willing to do the work, but they want to be in the public's eye, the person that's in the relationship, the person that's happy and all this other stuff, and they want what everybody else wants. But those are just pictures, sweetheart. Those are just pictures. That dude probably taking that picture like, oh, okay, I'll see you later. And they're going out to the side chick or whatever. So don't get fooled with social media and celebrities that are together and they're booed up and all that stuff. It's not what it seems. So if you're really not ready for a relationship, don't do it. But a lot of those folks, man, they get in a relationship because they feel pressured that their girlfriends are in a relationship, everybody on Facebook, every song they hear is talking about a relationship and how happy they are and all that. So you feel like, okay, something's wrong with me. I gotta grab somebody quick. You know, it's like a party ending at 2 a.m. The last song is at 1:50, and you got to find somebody to dance with so you don't look like you're just standing on the wall looking sad. So that's what people do, especially, and it's coming not only now, but this time period between now and Valentine's Day.
Yes, sir.
Tougher season.
Yes, sir.
People got to be booed up. They're going to be don't be surprised you hear from that chick you ain't heard from in years. Like, hey, BK, how you doing? Yeah. It's coming. It's coming. Change your number, change your address. It's coming.
It's amazing. You can go to a restaurant today and spend $60 on a meal, bro. $60. Wait a month and a half for that same restaurant cost you $300. Same food, same place, same chair, same everything. And not only that, wait 2.5 hours. Wait 2 hours to kind of sit inside. And to me, it's all of that perception. You want to feel, like you said, you have somebody. You want to show the world, I have somebody. I'm part of something. This is who I am. Look at me. I'm worthy of having someone. You know, you don't. I'm better than you. Again, it's childish. It's childish. It's an amazing how the world plays off that. Your insecurity, your feeling, your thought process, how it's played off of, and not even recognized. But again, Mr. Charles, you know, why are you fighting to get into a relationship? And then when you get there, you don't want to do necessarily what it takes to sustain it and make it grow. What is up with that?
Well, you know, we all like to be VIP, right? We'll be VIP. Look at me. Look at the luster. And that's the modern way of thinking now. But to actually sustain it, as you said, takes a lot of work. And it's just that point of being in it, and you want people really care what other people think. And so, therefore, they try to drag you into it. You ain't connected right now. You ain't with nobody. I don't know what you're waiting on. You know you're getting older now, right? All this other stuff. I'm like, what? You know, I'm perfectly happy where I'm at right now, unless the situation is great. But I think that's what it comes down to. Everybody wants to be seen as okay. Because we hear from outsiders, the media plays up on it. What is that? Just listen to the songs from back in the day. Was that Gilbert O'Sullivan, Alone Again, Naturally? You know, and then the other one, What Do the Lonely Do for Christmas? Really? Everywhere you turn around, it's like something wrong with you being by yourself. So, yeah, but that's how people are. They don't want to put the work in oftentimes to get it done, but they do want people to think that they do have somebody and that they are not alone.
Yeah, the work is a lot of people are part of the reason why. Again, marriages end up in 50% divorce rate in court because they don't want to sustain the work. I'm not saying necessarily her do it. It is easy to go get married. I mean, any idiot can apply for a marriage license, realistically, easy to get in, tough to come out of. But if you realize there's a lot of work that comes behind once you stand there and say, I did, a lot of work. So if you ain't ready for it, you ain't cut out for it, you may want to try something different. It's Mr. D. Maurice, Mark Elliott, Mr. Charles, When Black Men Talk.
you, you think you ought to do, baby. Anything you want to do, you must be crazy, baby. You just gotta be out of your mind. As long as I'm paying to be a woman, I'm paying the cost to be the boss. I'll drink if I wanna, and play a little poker too. Don't you say nothing to me, as long as I'm taking care of you. As long as I'm working, baby, and paying all the bills, I don't want no mouth from you about the way I'm supposed to live. You must be crazy, woman. Just gotta be out of your mind. As long as I'm putting the bills and paying the cost to be the boss.
As we move into 2022, and give some thought to, because healthiness is something we should start to strive towards. You've probably noticed recently, maybe in the last week or two, a lot of well-known people have basically left this earth. I'm not even going to drop any names. You know who they are. But with that being said, and we moved into a new year, I think it's a fine time to basically turn our attention towards health and get healthy as people, in a sense. Because I'm always amazed when someone passes, the first thing we ask sometimes, what did they die from? What did they die from? And they want to kind of pull back and they want to kind of see. It's like an urgent question to ask when someone moves on. But as people, we have been undergone from our early existence in this country and around the world. And in spite of that, we've made strides and made significant progress. I will call us deeply resilient. But with that being said, when it comes to our health, for whatever reason, we kind of basically, to me, fall way, way down. And I think we need to do some things. And there's a lot of things we can do to kind of turn the tide and get better at that. And wellness, the state of being in good health. And there's five aspects of our personal health: physical, emotional, social, spiritual, and intellectual. And we should be sharp in all five. Ones that we're weak in, we should work to improve and become sharper. But I want to speak of the physical, because to me, that is the understructure of all of the aspects. If you don't have a good physical foundation, it's tough to be anything else. So I'm going to come to you first with this, Indeed, Maurice, because in terms of wellness and the physicality, as we look out on the landscape and people that look like us, are we healthy people, sir?
No, not by any means. No, we're not healthy in any of those aspects. And I think it's by design to keep us that way. Either within our culture and outside of our culture, that we won't get the mental health that we need to remove the barriers and the braces that are on our brains as far as how we think of ourselves and how we think of ourselves in the society. I still see people, man. I know when we were coming up, you know, New Year's, you had to have certain foods, you know, to start the new year with. And, you know, I over the years, I'm like, I'm not going around running around town and got collard greens and black eyed peas and all this other stuff. They got nothing to do. You know, I did that last year. I'm in the same spot I'm in the year before. So I don't know where that comes from. But a lot of people hold on to those traditions to have, you know, like certain foods and things of that sort that they know that's not good for us. But we continue to hold on to it. And even when we find out, you know, like I gave up pork years ago, and I gave it up for several reasons. And, you know, and I knew it was really, really hitting me hard health-wise. And so I'm like, you know, I can't do this anymore. And you go to a function or an event or something like that, and you tell people, it's like they get offended if you say, well, I don't eat this. You know, you don't eat pork. Oh, pig ain't never done anything to me. And so, you know, it's like, okay, if that's your choice, I did the research. I talked to the doctor, and I'm like, okay, let me remove this from my diet because I know in the long run it's going to affect me. But, you know, you know, our people, you know, they're going to come up with an excuse. Or even grandma one time, I was like, grandma, you know, you shouldn't be eating such and such and such. And she was like, you know, you got to die of something. So you ain't going to stop me from eating this. I'm going to eat it. You know, and I think I told you the story almost every Friday. We'd have Kevin's Fish. Kevin's Fish is still there in New Haven, Connecticut. And every Friday, grandma would give me $10. And you're like, you get you a box of fish, I'll get you, and give me a box of fish. And we'd sit up there on Friday. If I had to do anything, we'd sit there and eat our fish. And, you know, she'll eat a little and then save a little bit. But I'm like, you know, grandma, you shouldn't be eating this right here. Take this $10, go get the fish. She didn't want to hear no lips. She didn't want to hear nothing about it. This is where, you know, I like to eat. I like to eat good food. And, you know, and she would come up with all kind of excuses. So we all come up with excuses on why we could justify doing something that we know is not going to be healthy for us in any aspect. So, no, in general, I don't think we're healthy people at all.
Yeah, I remember Grandma, a little while before she passed in the hospital, I used to go visit in the hospital, and they would come in and give her pills to take. And this is how cunning our grandmother was, man. She would literally take the pills. I don't know how she was able to do this, but she would take the pills.
I know what she, yeah.
Yeah, she would hide the pills under her tongue. I'm pretty sure she drank water. And when they walked out of the room, she would take the pills out of her mouth and throw them on the floor. I'm like, grandma.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know how he took the water from that thing. I have no idea, but that's what she would do. And, I mean, our grandmother, yeah, you're right. She was, you know, like you said, she said she got died for something. Our grandmother lost both of her legs to diabetes, not one, both. I mean, to diabetes, when you think about it, man, that's, you know, not one, two, because, you know, in her mind, she's going to die for something. Mr. Charles, overall, in general, are we healthy people, sir?
I don't think so. I agree with what was said earlier, what DeMaurice mentioned. Part of it, too, though, is, like DeMaurice said, he doesn't eat pork, and I'm like, that's cool. I'm not mad at that. But then people are like, what about you? I was like, well, I'm not going to say I don't eat pork because, you know, at a certain time, buzz need a rib, okay? And I know there's beef ribs. But there's sometimes you need a rib. And that's what I mean, but for me, what I found out is coming to grips with not doing this on a regular basis, right? So if it's summertime and, man, it's some good ribs and I want to do some pork ribs or something that has pork in it, then I choose to do that because I'm not doing it on a regular basis. So if I'm doing that for myself anyway, if I'm doing that for the duration of the year and then I'm making an exception for myself, then I'm like, all right, okay, I'm good. It's like overdoing anything, overindulging in anything can be bad for you. But as you said, it's so easy to jump into eating these bad foods for us. And then when you think from a physical standpoint, it's like, it's so easy to say, particularly at this age, and I'm with people right there too. It's so easy to go, well, I meant to go walking, I meant to work out, I was going to, but life got in the way. And when you're younger, I didn't have excuses because I was pretty much a fit guy and an athlete. But as you get older, it's like, man. So I literally had to reprogram myself mentally to say, it's going to hurt like hell, but it's going to be worth it in it. And that's been my attitude. So, yeah, it's rough out there, bro, because you have so many other examples around you to just say, hell, the hell with it. You know, East don't eat pork. I like my ribs and whatever else I'm eating, and my pork and my pork chops and some other pork chops. You know, all of that.
Man,
I won't call DeMaurice no more while. Smoke
the pork chops. Damn, you get that some other pork chops is where it's at. Well, you know, keeping the center focus on some things that we really should keep an eye on is hypertension, heart disease, and diabetes. Those tend to be the three that really hit us hard. And it's interesting when you really kind of put the spotlight on it, they're treatable And they're preventable. They really are, man. They if we kind of do just a little extra, do some different things, we can kind of basically avoid that. If we have it, we can kind of move away from it. But if we don't make the concerted effort to do so, for whatever reason, you know, we're comfortable as people taking pills, waiting and waiting the weight gain. And basically, you know, when things get real bad, tell people to pray for us. Pray for me. Pray to all I've done to basically wreck my temple, to be undone, which is interesting when you think about it. That mindset, that concept really doesn't make much sense. It almost seems to me sometimes, Mr. Charles, that we don't, one of two things as a race of people. We don't focus on living a long, healthy life, or we don't think it's obtainable. It's one of the two. So it's either one of the two where we don't think that we're entitled to it, we're worthy of a long, healthy life, or we don't believe it's in the cards for us, that they can have it, but we can't. Like Mr. Reese says in many times in the show, that their ice water or their ice is more colder than ours. Do we kind of believe that, or it seems like there could be a perception that we walk around with a race of people when it comes down to our health?
Yeah, I think it's a misconception that we can't have it. But oftentimes, if it's right in front of you and other people have experienced that dilemma or that they perish from it, like for instance, if your grandmother had diabetes and you know that diabetes runs in your family, then the people tend to, particularly some of our folks, tend to believe that it's only a matter of time before I get it, right? You know, I'm about to get that sugar gonna get you. So the sugar gonna get me, so if the sugar's gonna get me, I might as well go on and just keep enjoying my life and doing what I wanna do, which means bad eating habits and all these other things that I can do, because you better hurry up, because you know by the time you turn 40, that sugar gonna get you, that sugar diabetes. That diabetes, not diabetes, diabetes gonna get you. So with that being said, the sad thing is, man, on the real tip, because they worked in the diabetes area for quite some time, we just don't understand it as people. And what we understand, too, those that are often teaching us about diabetes, they do not – some people just can't change their minds. But oftentimes they don't know how to relay the information to our folks. Because when we hear you talk about diabetes, And what we got to change. You trying to kill me. I ain't no one here. I can follow that. And it's like kind of, that's it. You don't follow this, you're going to die. When it's quite the contrary, there's a number of ways you can get creative with dealing with diabetes if you catch it early and stay away from it. But that, it's either one or the other, bro. It's either one way or the highway. There's no in-between oftentimes with people. And we as people say, I ain't doing nothing. Hell with that. Demon Reese talking about don't eat no pork. You crazy? I eat pork 4 times a year. You want me to give up my pork, boy, and my candy and my Pepsi, my Coke, my Dr. Pepper, boy, please.
Yeah. It almost seems like, Ms. Enrisa, it comes down to, it's like a coin, one side or the other, where we don't basically focus on a long, healthy life. We kind of basically put our cards on the table and push them in the middle and say, oh, we're, well, you know, I'm not, that's not our desire. Or we don't think that because of who we are, you know, we've been beat down so much and we're still getting beat down to where we don't believe it's obtainable for us to live a long, healthy life. Your response?
Yeah, man, being black in this country or being a person, I'll stick with being black. I remember my friend, my good friend Eric, his mom told me, it's hard being black. It's like a full-time job being black. And you get tired. You get tired. Or you wake up, man, black again, and I got to go back up and face everything you got to face, just being black. And she told me, and I put it in one of my books, it's like being black is not for the weary. And so when you're just fighting day to day, you know, just survive day to day, sometimes you don't think about long term. You don't have time. You're too stressed to think of long term sometimes. And when that stuff creeps up on you, you're like, damn, this is another thing that I got to deal with. And now I'm just tired. You know, I'm weary. I'm tired. And, you know, another thing to pile on to all the stuff that I got to deal with in this society. So I can see where people can feel that way. Like, you know what? if this is it, this is it. You know, I got to do this, and I'll just ride it till the wheels fall off, and not really pay attention as long as I can enjoy some of the, you know, the good things in life that I really enjoy. What it could be food, it could be vices, it could be whatever. And so I could see that, but I think, you know, with technology and the advances in medicine that we have today, I think it affords us more options to live longer and live healthier. But if you're from an older generation and you don't trust that, and you don't trust, you know, the powers that be, you're just going to go out on your shield, so to speak, and you're going to do what you feel like you need to do to make you happy and make you content and enjoy what you have, because we're a food to mouth people. You know, we sometimes a lot of us don't have the option to, you know, to kind of think of long term as far as our health and wealth and all that other stuff. We just get it because we can survive today. And somehow, some way, we got to get out of that mentality that, oh, okay, we're still fighting for today, but we're putting an investment in tomorrow. And I don't think we as a people have gotten to that point yet in this country.
You did on with that, yeah, about the vessel, about tomorrow, and a lot of different areas we really haven't been on. It's interesting because I noticed over the years, I'm talking 10, 20, some odd years, as black men, we weren't really primarily cigar smokers. You know, we might have dabbled a little bit, and more so it was for looks. Over the years, we have definitely picked up the habit of smoking cigars. And I would tend to believe, I mean, I'm not into it, so I don't know what the attraction is, but I would tend to believe part of it is because it's a monkey see, monkey do type of thing, a thing where you want to follow the trend, you want to be cool and be part of it. But we all know, or have an idea, how toxic cigarettes are to our system. And if I'm correct, cigars are 9 times more toxic than a cigarette. When you think about that, I don't know how you can put one in your mouth and light it. I have no idea. I just don't get it. I just don't understand it. I mean, I don't know what it does for you. But again, if you're telling me something that is small, it's toxic, and you're going to give me something bigger, and tell me like this, and it's 9 times worse than that, I just don't understand it. I remember recently they used to have TV commercials up here, and I'm sure there was throughout the country in the Northeast, where they would show you the damage that cigarettes done to individuals. Those things would scare the shit out of me. But the average person that's smoking looking at those commercials and paying no attention. And I'm looking at it like, please, I'm grabbing the remote, turning, because I don't want to watch it. So I say all that to say that, you know, as people, we really got to start to think about our health and think long term. We just have to. We don't, you know, well, maybe I should say we don't have to because we haven't been doing it, so maybe we don't have to. But it would be nice if we did, because we should preserve us. We have people coming behind us, think of them, we want to leave something for them to cherish and have, but we're not here. And if we're just basically living like there's no tomorrow, like it's 1999, and basically putting things in our bodies, into our minds, that's going to basically rot us and tear us down, what's going to happen to our race? I mean, what's going to be left of us? Because there's other races taking care of themselves, and they're going to be here. And if you think we're a minority now, check back in 10 or 15 years. cat that passed a few, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, Maurice. There's a guy that, man, that could take a guitar and make it holler, make a scream in the New Haven area, Ron Lawrence, man. We lost him over the weekend. I think Ron might have been my age or a year older, but he's played on many various albums of jazz artists, traveled the world. Wasn't nothing Ron couldn't play. And I'm pretty sure Ron was one of those cats, if you hum a song to him and give him the guitar, he would just go off and play it. And he would just play like it's no tomorrow, man. I'm going to miss you, bro. Miss you deeply. Mr. Charles, who comes to you first for your question?
Yes. I'm going to throw this right back because we didn't get to talk about that. Are you surprised by the number of people in our community or as a whole, even women, that do actually partake in cigar smoking now?
In a way, no. In a way, yes. Because time for me, I'm 59 years old, so lived through some things or whatever the case may be, but there were times there were certain things you knew was a black thing or a white thing. When I was younger, tattoos was a white thing. It just was. Cigar smoking, white thing. Plastic surgery, white thing. There's certain things that you just, when you heard, you automatically identify them not being a black thing. Over the years, those things have become our things. And it's like we conned and ran with it and stuck it up high and, you know, put it on another threshold. So in a way, no. You know, it's no, because we found ourselves to basically whatever we saw them doing and looked like they was having fun doing, no, we want to do it and we could do it better than them. That's like some like the mindset that we're taking on. And I remember years ago, I was visiting in Texas, and there was a story out in Texas. Now, Texas is huge, but the story out in Texas that there are more women drinking and going to package stores than men in the state, the whole state of Texas. They did research that more women buy alcohol and drink more than men. Now, I'm not saying alcohol is good for any of our bodies, but a woman's body is designed different than ours. They have different things for a reason that our bodies don't. And when you think about them pounding down alcohol and walking around with a beer belly, it is what it is. I mean, some things really, you don't have to be a scientist to understand some stuff, bro. It is what it is. But to think about that in totality, they're buying more alcohol and out-drinking you in alcohol. Think about that for a second. Not that it's good that we drink it, but they're drinking it more than you, buying it more than you. Your response, Mr. DeRice?
Yeah, I've noticed an uptick in that. And it's, you know, because I was smoking cigar every now and then. I probably like a year and a half, 2 years since I smoked a cigar. And that was after my boy's dad passed. We sat down and had a few shots of whiskey and reminisced a little bit. And I think it's in moderation, but I'm not a regular cigar smoker. But I do see that I found that, you know, when I have had a chance to smoke a cigar, and to certain women, it's one of the most sexiest things you ever want to see in your entire life. I ain't going to lie. Something about that, I don't know. With the right woman, I don't know. But I do see an uptake in it. I do see one of the negative uptakes with it is that, you know, this when women feel like, okay, I'm independent, I can do what I want kind of thing. And so that they try to be alpha, they try to be the alpha, and that doesn't work for me. But, it's teach his own, but I have seen an uptake in it. I haven't seen too many women who've done it with the big bellies. So I don't know who you watching, Mark, smoking cigars and with the beers and big bellies. I wouldn't want to be around the women with the beers. You got to be more sophisticated with beer and cigars.
Bro, after a few shots of whiskey, you don't know what you said, man. So we can't trust you.
With smoke your eyes.
There's some smoke in your eye. You know by 2 o'clock they all look good. 3 a.m. they all look good. It's a chocolate. Your response, my brother.
I'm surprised by perhaps like the number of women that smoke cigars now. Not saying that they can't. But, of course, we had an idea of what women should carry themselves, but that's kind of out the door because they're so independent now. But as Dina Lee said, I understand about the smoking and everything too, but cigars, man, and I don't do it often, but I have some if I ever want to. Something about a good cigar and cognac, man.
Uh-huh.
Something about that, a fine cognac. And you know that I'm kind of into that right now. Doing some marketing with some cognac. People might say I'm wrong for that too. So to each his own. You know, you got to make a living. You got to do what you got to do. And I ain't mad at you. You got to do your thing. So like you eating on coins just every hour on the hour. I'm going to get you this on it. It's what we do tomorrow. So your poison, your death. You feel me? We all got something. We all got something. So, we all got vices. But looking at it from the standpoint of, I look at it this way. I think for me, as I continue to get older, you got to understand your body. And for the times that I smoke cigars and I've done some other things, even drinking, I've always made it a point to say to myself, if you're going to indulge in this, then you got to take measures to get this crap out your body, like right thereafter.
Right.
So I had no problem with exercising and doing whatever to get that sweating that out or getting that out of my body, not letting it linger. So I've always been that way. That point of, D. Marie should tell you how many times we've been on drunken stupors on a Saturday or Friday night, and the gym is packed the next day. You can't even get on the court; it's so packed at the basketball court. But I think that's that vice for me to kind of say, I'm going to enjoy myself a little bit, but I'm also going to take care of my body because I don't want that lingering. I think that's where you had the ill effects and of dealing with that on a regular basis.
Yeah, detoxification is huge on any level, man. Anything that you do, you sure should be doing that with your body, period, getting all the toxins out. So good point there, Mr. Charles. Good point, cognac, my brother. Your question, Mr. DeMaurice?
Somebody, you know how folks, the new year comes in and people are sending text messages and calling and wishing you a happy new year. And I made an interesting comment to one of my friends. It was a happy new year. And I'm like, is it really a happy new year? Are we still in the same year during this pandemic? So I'm going to pose a question to you. Is it a happy new year?
Man, my brother.
We're brought here, aren't you? Yeah, I mean, well, we still going through the same. It's the same as yesterday and the same today. You know, do we get to take our masks off? Do we get to run down the street naked and say, oh, we've overcome this pandemic? Is it really a new year? Has anything changed?
Yeah, for me, absolutely. I mean, there's always going to be something. When the pandemic is gone, they'll find something else, or the case may be. But in the mindset that determine my happiness, and I don't think it's just happiness. It's just that as people, we battle in this. So absolutely, man. But I mean, regardless of what may come or may happen, I'm fighting for happiness. Whether it's New Year, whatever the new. So yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, it doesn't take me a new year to kind of, get hyped up. But yeah, man. I mean, what it's going to be is what it's going to be. I understand the point of if you sit back and look at, the pandemic stuff in the world. But my thing is, you know, I've always been, I don't focus on much what I can't control. I just don't do it. I really don't. If I can't control it, it's out of my hands, then it's above me, then why am I focusing on it? But I'm not going to let that take away from my joy, my happiness, what I feel. So, yeah, man. I mean, I realize that I find, you know, what's going on to be kind of interesting. I mean, it seems like the longer it goes on, the worse it gets. But I will say, too, you know, what am I going to say? That I'll leave that alone. But, yeah, the answer, get back to the premise of your question. Yeah, man. I mean, no, man. Absolutely, bro. I mean, if I'm here, I'm healthy, I'm smiling, you know, I wake up with joy. That's it, bro. That's happiness for me. So, yeah, that whatever's going on outside of there, it can roll. Your response, Mr. Charles?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes as well because, and I just don't want to put these jokes on our folks, but when you come to the realization of our thing is things in statistics, I'm not a statistic, bro. Could have been for a long time. I always told you guys about not thinking about living past 30 because what was going on. And so, yeah, every day is a good day. You get a fresh start. I mean, that's a blessing, you know, from the Lord. You get a fresh start. Still here. You're not on that tote board. And you get, as Mark said, you get a chance to start fresh, and you get to control your happiness. So, I mean, you say what you want to. You talk about every year we start over again. Hey, I'm starting over in 30 minutes. You know what I'm saying? I'm controlling mine. In the next 30 minutes, I'm going to control mine right away. So you can wait another 363 days you want to. I'll try to control mine as soon as I can because it's a state of mind. It's a number of things. So, yes, it's a happy new year. Plus, you can make change. That's the other thing. You can, something you may not like and you can afford to change it. You can make a difference instead of being caught up in the same scenario from health, relationships, money. For the most part, you can make a change. So, yeah, every day. I just say this as I get off of here real quick. I love the Sade song. You got to look at it like every day is Christmas and every night is New Year's Eve, baby. I live by that motto. I love Sade.
There it is. There it is. I mean, you can't say any better than that. Well, go on, Mr. Dean Reese. You know, we should have grumped it instantly. Leave you after Christmas, huh?
Nah, I'm just going to leave this question to my brothers and sisters. Is it a new year? Or are we trapped in the matrix, my brothers and sisters? That's the way I left it to my friend.
I held it. I held it.
I came across this story the other day. I wanted to get you two guys' opinion on this. There's a lady in jail, it's a sister in jail, and somehow she was able to stream her being in jail and dancing. Might have been twerking or whatever. And she was able to stream it and get it out. And gentlemen saw the stream. And right now, she has $100,000 on her books in jail from a dancing and streaming, whatever she did from jail cell. So I know we talked about this a few weeks ago, and I talked about the 1,000 women that lined up for a new strip club that's opened up in Las Vegas. But it's just, maybe it's my question and maybe it's my perception of this, but maybe we're trying to help her out. But at the same time, as men, are we that hard up to see a woman that we can't touch, we can't physically be with, we can't smell? We just willing to give my money that much, Mr. Charles? What's up with this? I'm trying to figure this out. I mean, she's in jail for stabbing another woman. She's got a few more years to go. But has it gotten to the point now where we just sit home now and if they're shaking their ass or whatever, we're just going to give them money?
Well, let me try to break this down for you, brother. I'm gonna come off that one perch. I'm gonna come down to around the way, and not all people are not at that point where they just see anybody shaking their booty and then want to just throw money at that person. But there are others that are have extra time on their hands and they'd be frustrated in the situation. So they're looking for outlets and relief. And I think it's the reason why the porn industry. And I'm not saying the young lady was in porn, but the porn industry has done so well because so many people do appreciate pictures and things they can't touch, smell, or whatever, but they can look at. And then that's why the industry has blown up. It continues to blow up because some people, for some reason or another, enjoy that type of atmosphere. But, I don't get it. But I'm not surprised by that because the way that technology has been hacked right now, I thought that would only be a matter of time. I'm surprised they let her keep the cash, though. That's what I'm saying. So anyway, so if they let her keep the cash, talk about how corrupt is the system on the real tip. That's what I'm looking into. How the hell she get to keep $100,000 on her book? Really?
Well, they're looking at it. I'm sure that the system is looking at it or where she is. That money's going to be spent there. They didn't care less. It's not like they're going to save it till she walks out. She's going to spend that money there. So it's like, yeah, but I would venture to believe it's going to be a new trend coming. When it gets out, however she was able to do, when it gets out there, you can be in your jail cell and make 100 G's. Oh, man, come on. Come on. Please. We forget reality TV show was launched by Flavor Flav. We forget that Flavor Flav really launched the whole reality TV show. We forget. Flavor Flav, I remember back then, cable TV was averaging 300,000 viewers at best. 300,000. Flavor Flav came on, whatever that show was called. They have damn near 5 million viewers watched him when he was on. And TV lost their mind. Never been the same since. Cheap production. You ain't got to write nothing, no writers, no nothing. Come on. Your response to you, she got 100 G's on her books, bro. You know, she has a bare belly, so you might have sent some money in. But God, I'm sorry. What's going on? You're
nah, nah, I ain't sending no money. How you get a phone in jail? I thought there were rules against having phones in jail. What's going on? I thought there was some restrictions.
Bro.
Where is it?
Hey. I'll find out, send to you, gentlemen. I forgot where it was. And I might have saved the story. But it was recently. Where she basically, she's I think she got like 4 years left. She stabbed another person, another woman. And she's done 4 or 5 years. And it might have been in Tennessee. My mind is thinking Tennessee, but I want to be clear, so I don't want to say for sure. But she was able to stream out her in jail, basically. And she was dancing. The pictures they showed, she had on normal prison wear. It wasn't like she, you know, she was dressed any different, but I guess it was synchronized to where people knew she was doing it and ended up with 100 G's on her book.
Wow.
Her books, I should say.
I thought there were some restrictions like being online and being on the phone and being locked up like that. So I'm not sure. I think there's some rules against this. I really do, and for her to be making money like that in prison, you know, I'm not hating on how she her hustle, but I thought there were just certain rules that you just couldn't do certain things in prison. So what's to say that she won't stab somebody else, just stay there and just keep that money and be happy, just dancing and making money and putting on her books. I mean, if she could do it, a lot of other people will do it, and I've talked to some folks who they don't mind being in prison. As long as they're getting 3 hots in the cot, they don't mind. It's like, you know, they ain't got to worry about rent, nothing like that. And they can live their life in prison. So I thought prison was supposed to be a deterrent to stay in there. But, you know, I'm speechless on this one, bro. I'm speechless.
Prison hasn't been a deterrent for so many years, man. Like you said, this people want to go to
prison. I mean, it's supposed to be like, oh, this is the worst place ever. I don't want to come back. I'm counting my days so I can get out. It's a badge of honor. It's like, yeah, I'll do this because I can still do what I was doing on the outside. But, yeah, so it's like, I don't get it, man. I really don't get it.
No, I hear you. But, again, man, money. Like I said, where is that $100,000 going to be spent in that same prison on her books? whatever they can buy, whatever the case may be. So it does surprise me it happened. It does surprise how it kind of happened because, for the most part, I'm sure in prison you get just about anything you want anyway. So, come on, realistically. So that part of it, I'm saying, doesn't get me. The angle I was looking at is that men that would just give her the money, per se, that didn't mind just dropping in a total, a sum of $100,000. And for her, great. You know, she got money that she can use and, you know, I get that part of it. But looking at the man perspective, I'm like, damn. You know, that's what we're down to now, to where we're just, anytime they were kind of shake and bake, we're ready to kind of just like spend money and give money to them. You know, and maybe so, because it hurts me to give my money away that quickly. It just does. Always have, probably always will. I'm too cheap. I'm way too cheap. I'm just, you know, I'll sip on a drink and watch you dance. I'm just too cheap. I'm way too cheap. That's my problem. What's your another question, if you have a question, Mr. Charles?
Yeah, we'll change the dynamic here real quick. I know most people are not into resolutions, but is there anything that you might want to achieve and focus on or improve since we have hit that mark of a refresh, or you bah humbugging and just going, we ain't no better. We still got the COVID. We're laughing with him.
Oh, not necessarily, man. Not necessarily. I will say that that's some interesting dynamic there because, maybe we weren't paying close attention, but no, nothing that I can probably say that because of that I feel inspired or in need to basically improve or do different. Your response, DeMarins?
Yeah, is it a new year? Are we trapped in the matrix? That's what I'm trying to say. No, every day, man, I try to get better every day. So it doesn't matter whether it's a new year and everybody want to recharge and all that. That's cool. But it's like for me, every day is you try to do my competition is me. I'm taking on a new mantra is that my competition is not others. It's me. It's how do I best myself every day to become better and better every day.
Good stuff. Your response, Mr. Jones?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like anything else. Like you said, it's day to day. But, I mean, it's just automatically for mine. In my mind, you think about New Year's, like, okay, that's cool. And they got a chance to have to dive into a new year. And maybe I want to update some things and just be more attentive to certain things and try to improve, but that is a daily thing for me. But if I can use this as another excuse to get me going, keep me motivated, I'll take it. And that's the way the brain works for me. So just keep another day, another way to improve.
Mr. DeRich, you have another question to ask, sir.
Yeah, what stood out this year out of all the things, the events? It could be a number of things, or just one thing that kind of stood out to you this year that you remember that kind of shaped the whole year.
For a long time, I don't think the country was paying attention to some things we've been saying for years. And they kind of just overlooked it and looked around it. And it seemed like for a period of time, you know, it forced them, some things took place that forced them to kind of see, well, damn, they've been saying this. We just kind of been overlooking it. So I would say maybe that's one thing that kind of jumps out when I think about that society as a whole got a taste of what it is and what goes on when, you know, they don't have to deal with. They weren't born into an era or a situation where this comes to them for no reason at all. So I think that's one thing that kind of jumps out for me. Mr. Charles, your response?
Yeah, I'll kind of piggyback on that real quick. I think the George Floyd, the verdict in the George Floyd, the Derek Chauvin trial was monumental. And because for years, many of us who are older or have a certain age limit, we didn't get a chance to see where the whole world was watching, and folks that were not of that were certain hue, you know, white folks that were in authoritative positions were not taken down and were not found guilty when it was clear of the actions that they had taken, you know. And I think that kind of started there. We saw recently where some other folks were in the same predicament as police officers, where the lady made a mistake. She said she was trying to pick her taser, put out a gun and shot a man, killed him. So I think we saw a lot of more other things where people were not allowed to just get away with stuff. But I think it started with George Floyd for me, because say what you want to or what have you, but we watched that almost 9 minutes. We watched that man die. He was alive, and at the end of the tape, he died.
DeBarice.
I think January 6th really kind of set it off for me, because we've been talking about it, like you said, we've been talking about it for years, about this country and the people in this country and where this society is in this country. And it really got exposed that day, where folks saw it for what it was, not only in this country but around the world, because we always like to think that the United States is the best country in this world. And it's a nice place if you can find a nice place to live, but we got a lot of things wrong, and it showed that day how folks could cut up and be so stupid, and the hypocrisy of this particular country and the hypocrisy of this government. It was on full display that day, and I can remember just sitting around all day on the phone with other folks like, can you believe this shit? Can you believe that they are climbing the wall because they are following this dumbass, and he ain't preventing it. He quit his job after he thought he wasn't going to be elected. But look at these fools acting the fool. And it was, and they always point at us acting the fool and doing things. But on that day, it was on full display. Who are the real fools of this country?
You're right. You're dead on. That day would always kind of go down, and the world seeing the United States for what it really kind of boils down to. And it's funny how they look at terrorists outside of this country. There's terrorists living in this United States, man. They've been living there for years.
Mm-hmm.
It's their own country, and this country has refused to acknowledge and do something about it. But, yeah, 2021 was a year, man. It encompassed a lot. It changed things in certain ways in certain areas. Some things are different. I look at these commercials the NFL have on now where they're talking about, and I know they're in Alabama, the other thing, where they're trying to do certain things. And I'm saying to us, I think we need to kind of keep an eye and pay attention, because then a lot of times the NFL talks a good game, and those commercials could be showing a good game, but until we see some changes, I'm not ready to shake their hands yet. I'm just not ready. So we'll keep an eye out. We'll keep a good, close look. But 2022 is here. Go out and make it a very good year. It starts now. Based on what happens, you have a lot of control. So let it be less complaints, more doing, more action. Let's get it done. We'll get together real soon. And until the meantime, y'all stay safe. As always, stay black. It's from Black Men Talk. Mr. DeMaurice, Mr. Charles, Mark Elliott. Thanks for listening.